Test dynamite. Aleph. So we're discussing the halachas of umnim and poelim, those who work for an employer. What are they allowed to interrupt their work for? For davening, for benching, for brachas. So let's go to where it says Tana Rabbanon. The first word on the line is Rishoin. If you see the first word, it must be about 15 lines from the bottom. Rishoin. Tana Rabbanon. Tana Rabbanon. Hapoyalim shohoyu oisin melocha eitzel balabais. Workers that were doing work with a balabais, koirin kriyashma. They may interrupt and must interrupt their work to recite Kriya Shema, umavorchin lefoneho ula achareho, and they will make the required bracha both before Shema and also after Shema. Ve oichlin piton, they will eat their bread, umavorchin lefoneho, they will make the first bracha, meaning hamoitzi lechem min haaretz. Ula achareho, and so too the bracha afterwards, Birkas Hamazon. Umispalalin tefillah shel Shmoneh Esra, they will also daven the tefillah of Shmoneh Esra. Aval ein yoridin lefnei ha-teiva, but they will not descend in front of the Omer, meaning they will not be the chazan. Ve'ein noisim kapehem, because that's not an absolute chiv. So with regard to Birkas Koinim, that's a bit of a chiddush, because normally we understand that if a Koin is there, then he does have to do Birkas Koinim. We understand that it doesn't have to be the chazan, so therefore he should continue working. But not to do Birkas Koinim is a chiddush. Says the Gemara, this we saw last time, Vahotanya, surely we have learned in a second brisa, Me'ein Yudches. Rather than davening the full-blown Shmoneh Esra, you daven Me'ein Yudches, which is the concise version. So we seem to have a contradiction in the brises. Does the employee daven the full Shmoneh Esra, or the brief version thereof? Omer Rav Sheshes loy kasha, ho Rabban Gamliel, ho Rabbi Yeshua. Rabban Gamliel, Rashi told us, is the one who says you're supposed to be davening the full Shmoneh Esra. He doesn't really hold lechoira of the whole concept of the brief version of Shmoneh Esra. So therefore, the first brisa that says the full Shmoneh Esra, that's from Gamliel talking. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua, he is the one who does hold of the brief version of Shmoneh Esra, and therefore he must have authored the second brisa, which says Me'ein Yud Ches. Therefore, there's no reason to try and reconcile the brisas. There's definitely a machlokes, but this is the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Says the Gemara, one moment, E Rabbi Yeshua. If you're going to tell me that the second brisa is Rabbi Yeshua talking, and that's why he allows you to do the short version of Shmoneh Esra, my iria poyalim. So why is it discussing workers afilu kol odom nami? Any person can do a brief Shmoneh Esra. According to Rabbi Yeshua, a brief Shmoneh Esra is always a possibility. So if the second brisa is really authored by Rabbi Yeshua, so why is it talking about a specific case of poyalim who happen to be working for an employer, they can stop to do a short version of Shmoneh Esra. Surely anybody can do a short version of Shmoneh Esra. So it's very hard to suggest that this is Rabbi Yeshua talking. Why would you mention the specific example of poyalim? Says the Gemara, Elo. Elo is always a backtracking. You're right. Idi ve idi Rabban Gamliel. You're quite right. Both this and that, both the first and the second brisa, are both Rabban Gamliel, which obviously means that we have a stira on our hands. One brisa, it says, full-blown Shmoneh Esra. And one, it says, the concise version. So which one are you supposed to be doing? No problem. V'loy kasha. Kan ba'oisin s'choron. Kan ba'oisin b'su'udoson. It depends, as Rashi is going to explain for us, on their wage structure. How are they being paid? Sometimes you have a worker who's being paid just for su'udos, meaning you work for me and I pay you for your meals. That's your wage. Sometimes an employee gets paid for su'udos plus on top of that a wage. Logic would dictate if he's getting a double whammy wage, then he should interrupt his work less. That's when he should say the shortened version of Shmoneh Esrei. Let's have a look at Rashi on the first wide line at the bottom. Oisin bischaron shenoiklin schar pu'ulosom. Shenoiklin schar pu'ulosom. If they take schar for their work, levad su'udosom, besides for su'udos, then srichim lemahir hamalocha. Well, then we've got to rush to work because they're being paid very generously. They're getting a handsome wage. Not only are they being paid for meals, enough to sustain himself food-wise, on top of that, he's getting a wage. So they've got to rush. Umispalalin me'ein yudches. So that's why he's got to just daven the concise version of Shmoneh Esrei in order to get back to his work. Avol oisin besu'udasam. Bishvil o achila levado. Just for mere eating reasons, then mispalel in yudches, then he'll daven the full Shmoneh Esrei. Now the next word in the Gemara is very confusing. And Baruch Hashem, as ever, we have Rashi to help us out. Because the next word in the Gemara is v'hotanya. And in most cases, as we know, v'hotanya is a question. But surely we have learned in a brisa. But if you look at Rashi, even before we see the Gemara, Rashi warns us, v'hotanya benichusa. What does that mean, benichusa? What's the opposite of benichusa? Sometimes Rashi says, betema, as a wonder, as a question. Benichusa literally means like the word noyach. Yoina motza voy monoyach. Benichusa means in a relaxed way. Meaning Rashi is pointing out that this particular vahotanya is not a question. And as we always say in our shir, the niggun, the tune that you read it in is so critical. According to Rashi, you do not sing vahotanya as a question. It is not a question. It is said in relaxed mode. It is a proof. It's not a question. So you have to read the Gemara as follows. Ho, kam bo'isim b'scharon, kam bo'isim b'sudason. Instead of reading it, v'hotanya, but surely we have learned, you don't read it like that. You read it, v'hotanya, and indeed we have learned in a braisa. Not, but surely have we not learned, which is a question, an attack. This is not an attack, to the contrary, it's the exact opposite of an attack, it's a proof. V'hotanya, we have indeed learned in a braisa that the difference that we just made based on your wage structure, we can back that up from a braisa. Because we've learned in a braisa, it says, ha'poyalim shehoyu oisin melocha etzel balabais. Another braisa, talking about the same case, where the poyalim are doing work for the balabais. Koirin Kriya Shema, they read Kriya Shema. Umispalalin, and they daven v'oichlin piton. And they will eat their bread, v'ein mevorchin lafoneho, avol mevorchin la'achareho. They will not make the first bracha, as we'll soon see in Rashi, because the first bracha Hamoitzi lechem in haaretz is only midrabanon, so therefore it is easier for us to be lenient. They will have to make the after bracha of benching. Now, which part? All of it. Part of it, says the Gemara, shtayim, two brachas. Even though we know Birkas Hamazon essentially has three brachas plus a fourth added on. So, how are you managing two brachas? Says the Gemara, Shtayim, Ketzad, Bracha Rishoina, Ketikuna. The first bracha, Hazanes Ha'olam, that can be Ketikuna in the normal, correct manner. Shnia, the second bracha, we do a combination. We amalgamate two into one. Poiseach, the Birkas Ha'aretz. You will begin with Birkas Ha'aretz, which is the bracha of Noyde Lecha, it talks about Eretz Yisrael. The Koyelelein, Boine Yerushalayim, the Birkas Ha'aretz. And you will include Boine Yerushalayim within that bracha, which is the bracha of Rachim Noah, for the simple reason, as Rashi will explain, because the two brachas are quite similar in content. We talk about the Beis Hamikdash and Eretz Yisrael. So therefore we do the first bracha in the normal manner, and then we make a combination of brachas two and three, they go together. Now the Braisa continues, and this is why the Gemara is bringing the Braisa. The Braisa qualifies. Bamed dvarim amurim, when is that all stated? Then you have to make a brief version of Birkas Hamazon. That is only ba'oisin b'scharam, when they are indeed getting a full-blown wage. Aval oisin b'su'udasa. But if they are just earning their su'udos, oisha hayo balabayis meisevi mohen, or the balabayis is more than happy to sit with them, and he's not rushing them, then mevarachim ketikuno. Then indeed, he will make all the brachas in the normal fashion. So what do you see from this braisa? This braisa is not a question, therefore. This braisa is a backup. You see that this distinction is a fully registered distinction. It depends on how he's being paid. Su'udason or scharon. Look at Rashi on the first wide line. Oisin bischaron shenoiklin schar. On the second wide line. V'hotanya benichusa. Rashi says, V'hotanya is not a question, it's benichusa. It is stated in relaxed manner. It's a proof. Indeed, we have found in a braisa the yesh chiluk ben oisin bischaron la oisin bisu'udason. Indeed, there is such a difference. The ein mevarchin lefomeho. Why not? She'ena min ha'Torah. The first bracha is not min ha'Torah. This is very, very important to know, even though it is a whole discussion. We once learned this in the beginning of Ketzer Mevorachim. The bottom line is, all brachas that we make before food, without exception, are all derabbanon only. Whether it's amoitzi lechem na'aretz, whether it's borei pri hagafen, shehakol mibedvara, makes no difference. Those are all derabbanon. And in fact, all the brachas acharoina are also the Rabbonon, with the exception of Birkas Hamazon. But ala michyo, ala gefen, barin afashois, those are all the Rabbonon. The only bracha that's deraisa with regard to food is Birkas Hamazon. And therefore, with regard to the first bracha, we can be makel, because it's only a drabonon. With regard to the second bracha, that we cannot be makel, why not? Because that is a question of the deraisa, that we can't be makel when it comes to a deraisa. Says Rashi, one more Rashi. Avol mevarchin lachareho, but he does have to make a bracha afterwards. Why? Says Rashi, shehi min ha'Torah. Because that indeed is min ha'Torah. The ksev ochalto v'savoto v'irachto, it's a pasuk in the Torah from which we derive Birkas Hamazon, if we cannot be makel on a deraisa. V'koilalin, you will include together shtei brachos ba'achas, two brachos in one, she birkas ha'oretz u'binyan Yerushalayim, the bracha concerning Eretz Yisrael, which is the second bracha, and the bracha concerning the building Yerushalayim, doimois. What does doimois mean? They are similar in nature. There is no way that we could combine the first bracha, even though it's interesting. Because in the bracha achrayna that we make on mezaynes, for example, we call that the bracha achas me'ein shalosh. There, we do incorporate all three into one. But over here, we're talking about a bracha min ha'teira. It's min ha'teira, we cannot take too many shortcuts. Now, it's still a chiddush. Because at the end of the day, if it really is min ha'teira, then I would expect that you cannot take shortcuts. Look immediately at the bottom Tosfos. The Chosein, they change that to Upoiseach, the Birkas Ha'aretz. You begin with Birkas Ha'aretz. Afal Gavde Midda'ayrai Sehein. Even though they are Min HaToira. So if they are Min HaToira, you would have expected that there are no shortcuts possible. You've got to bench fully. No. Yesh koyach beyad chachomim lakir dovor min ha-teira. The phenomenal chiddush that the chachomim have sometimes to uproot something from the Teira. I think this year is the best example of this. We did not blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We did not shake lulav on the first day of Sukkot, even though there's mitzvahs min ha-teira. The answer is that Chazal have the Torah given right to actually uproot something from the Torah. A tremendous chiddush. Hoyil v'trudin b'meleches balabayis. Because they are preoccupied with the work of the balabayis. Now, obviously, this Tosfos is a little bit difficult to understand. Because if indeed Chazal have this koyach, and they clearly do, to be oiker adova min ha-Torah, so why are we only then applying that for the second and third bracha? Rashi says the second and third are similar, but once you have that koyach to be oiker dovah min ha-Torah, so they could have taken a shortcut on the first bracha as well. It's not entirely clear, so I don't know, it seems to me Chazal b'roiv chochmasom decided, even though we can take shortcuts, but there's a limit, there's a limit. So either way, in summary, it turns out that these payalim, it depends on how they're being paid, and it depends on whether you're discussing the derisas or the rabbonos.
Okay. Richard, just one question.
Please.
So when I learned the Gemara without the gra, I had tremendous difficulty. So how does that, like, do you have to learn the gra when you learn this Gemara?
Why? Which part of the
Grah? Because it says Vein Mavarchin the Faneha, and then by Kate's side it says Brach Rishana Kisikuna.
No. Brach Rishana Kisikuna doesn't mean the Bracha before, it means the first Bracha of benching.
So then why does the God change the Girsa to Mevarchin lefanecha?
Because I think in the previous brisa, if you look in the previous brisa, it says umevarchin lefanecha la'achareho, va'oichlin piton is like a little base in brackets, and then it says umevarchin lefanecha ula'achareho. In the first brisa, it does say that on bread you make a bracha both before and after. So if you want the two brisas to be perfectly matching, then you have to change the girsa and say, in the second brisa also, mevarchin lefanecha.
So now I'm talking about the small aleph after a few lines later. Ve'in mevarchin lefanecha.
Yeah, in the second brisa, our girsa is v'oichlin piton v'ein mevarchin lefanecha. What does that mean? Which bracha does he not make?
The bracha before the eating.
Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Now that is a stira, therefore, to the first brisa. Because look back in the previous brisa, on the first word of the line where it says koirim, koirim kriya shema is the first word of the line. It says there clearly, v'oichlin piton umavarchin lefanecha. So the first brisa says you do make the bracha omitzi lechem min ha'aretz. So it's a contradiction in the two brisas.
So the Bach is changing the first one to,
right.
to match
the
one,
at,
and the God right. is changing the second one to match
exactly. Rav, you got two choices or three choices. Either you leave the brises the way they are, which means that the brise is a stira,
yeah.
or you change. But the question is, which one do you change?
Okay. And do you normally go with the Bach when that happens, if there's a stira between?
I don't know if there's a normal way. I have to look in the Rishonim to see what they go. It's the halacha. The Goyen himself sends you to Rishonim, so does the Bach. Okay, the next sugya, if you look at the very last Rashi on the Omud, Rashi says, Kvar pirashtiha b'peregrishon daf yudalef amud alef. And that is it. Rashi does not have any single comment on the entire sugya. If you turn over the page, you will see that the first Rashi is Rashi on the Mishnah. So Rashi leaves this entire sugya unexplained, but not entirely, because he says, I've already explained it. So if you look in Daf Yud Aleph, you'll see that basically the sugya there repeats itself. And there, indeed, Rashi does fill us in. Therefore, there's no real way that you can learn this sugya without learning it together with Daf Yud Aleph. So we'll have to see this together with Daf Yud Aleph. So first, let's see our Gemara here, and then we'll learn it together with Daf Yud Aleph, where basically word for word repeat of the sugya. Those of you who have good memories will remember that we've actually learned this in Sukkah as well. We learned Sukkah Daf Chafei. There's a sugya of Oisik B'mitzvah, Potam and HaMitzvah. There again, for a third time, it's repeated word for word, and there Rashi does explain it. So we're not going to go with the Rashi in Sukkah. We'll go for the moment with Rashi in Daf Yud Aleph. The Mishnah told us that a chosen is potter from Kriya Shema. Why is a chosen potter from Kriya Shema? So this simply sounds like the rule Ha'isik b'mitzvah potter min ha'mitzvah. Now, which mitzvah is he involved in? So it's a little bit tricky. The chosen at the moment is not involved in any mitzvah. He's going to be involved in the mitzvah, consecrating his marriage, but at the moment, he's not involved in any mitzvah. So what exactly is the patur? Once you're an oisik b'mitzvah, that's the rule, oisik b'mitzvah, potam b'mitzvah, but there's no rule that an hour before your oisik b'mitzvah, you're also exempt. So why is this chosn exempt from Kriya Shema? Says the Gemara. Chosn potter mikriya shema tonu rabbonon. Beshiftecha beveisecha, quote unquote. It says with regard to Kriya Shema that when is there a chiyuv? When you're sitting in your house, we learn from there, prat, that comes to exclude lo'oisek b'mitzvah. You're only obligated to recite Kriya Shema when you're sitting in your house, meaning I'm not involved in mitzvahs. If I am involved in mitzvahs, you are exempt. This is the world famous principle, ha'oisik b'mitzvah potur min ha'mitzvah. That's halacha number one. Then we have another drasha, ubalechta chobaderech, quote unquote, prat lechosn. Prat lechosn. We have a special posuk in the Torah that comes to exclude a chosn. A person is mechuyev to read Kriya Shema, except if he's a chosn. Mikan omru. It is from over here that Chazal derived. Hakoines es habesula. If somebody marries a besula, a virgin, somebody who's never been married before, then potter. Potter from Kriya Shema. Ve'esu almona. If she's a widow, she has previously been married, then chayev. Now, why there should be a difference between a besula and an almona, the Gemara will later discuss. Says the Gemara, my mashma. What exactly is the mashmos? Where is the indication in the posuk? Where do you see in this posuk anything about prat l'oisik b'mitzvah, prat l'chosan? Where do you see it in the drosha? Omer of Papa. Because what does it say? Ubelechtecho baderech. You are mechuyev to say Kriya Shema when you are on a journey. Says the Gemara, ki Derech. It has to be just like a normal travel on a derech. The Torah is clearly stipulating under what circumstances are you obligated to say Kriya Shema? Ki derech. Just like you would normally travel, which means ma derech rishus, just as the normal way of traveling is a rishus. What does that mean, a rishus? It's not mandatory. It's voluntary. I've decided I'd like to go on a trip. Af hocha nami rishus. That is the Torah's way of telling you that so too, only if you're involved in a rishus activity, in a permissible, but not a chiyuv. There are two types of acts that a person can be involved with. Either it's a mitzvah, which means it's not just permissible to do, it's actually an instruction, you have to do it. If I'm sitting eating matzah on Seder night, that's not permissible. That is an absolute obligation, it's obligatory. But that's therefore not comparable to derech. So the Torah, by writing the word derech, says the Gemara is teaching you that you're only mechuyev to say Kriya Shema if you are involved in a derech-like activity. What does that mean, a derech-like activity? I.e., it is rishus. You're involved in a permissible act rather than an obligatory act. Avhocha nami rishus. So therefore, it's got to be that what I'm involved with is a rishus, which therefore leads us to the rule, ha'oisek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah. If I'm oisek b'mitzvah, I'm in the middle of eating my matzah on Seder night, so I'm not involved in a rishus. This cannot be compared to derech. What am I involved with? A permissible act, an obligatory act. Under those circumstances, is no chiyuv Kriya Shema. Says the Gemara, I don't understand the drosha. Says the Gemara, mi lo yaskinon. Can we not be dealing with deka'ozil ledvar mitzvah? The Torah says, ubalechtecha baderech, when you go on the way, on the journey. Journey to what? Who in the world told you? Who in the world told you that the derech that we're dealing with is a derech of rishus? Maybe it means ubalechtecha baderech. Maybe he's talking about on the way to going to do a mitzvah. Bafilu hachi omar achmana likri. And nonetheless, the Torah says you should recite Kriya Shema ? So how can you extrapolate from the word derech? Derech means rishus. And that now becomes a general rule only when you're involved in something which is a rishus. Who told you? When the Torah says, v'lechtecha baderech, you are going on the journey, maybe it's a journey of a mitzvah. You're going to do bikur chayim. You're going to shul. That's not a rishus, that's a mitzvah. The Torah still says you should read. So where do you derive this principle from that it's got to be involved in a rishus? Maybe the Torah is even talking about a mitzvah and you're still obligated. Says the Gemara, no. Im kein, if that was really the case, then lei makro, the Torah should have written, beleches. My belechtecho. What's the difference between beleches and belechtecho? Beleches means as one is going. Belechtecha means you, in your going. What does that mean, you're going? Shema mino, we learn from over here. Do you know what belechtecha means? Beleches didcha. In the going, that's yours. Hu de mechayvet, comma. That's when you are obligated to read Kriya Shema. The way you've got to read the Torah is as follows. Do you know when you're obligated to say Kriya Shema? Belechtecha. When you're involved in your going. What does that mean, your going? When I'm walking to the makolet, when I'm walking to the park, when I'm walking to my friends, that's permissible. That's not obligatory. Oh, if however the mitzvah, then patiras, then indeed you are exempt. So the Gemara is qualifying. It's not so much from the word derech that we learn that you're potter, because derech doesn't in any way mean a rashus more than a mitzvah. The Torah says derech, it could quite well mean a derech shel rashus, a derech shel mitzvah. Where do I see that you're only obligated to say Kriya Shema if it is a rashus? The answer is it's not in the word derech, it's in the word belechtecho. Belechtecho means you are involved in your goings. Your goings means your own personal permissible traveling. So you're not on Oisek b'mitzvah. But if it is indeed a leches of mitzvah, under those circumstances, the Torah exempts you from reciting Kriya Shema. And that's when we learn the principle of Oisek b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Now, before we continue, go back to now Daf Yud Aleph. And that's where we'll see the Rashi's there. Yud Aleph Omad Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, seventh narrow line of Rashi. Ki derech, have you got it? The last words on the line, ki derech. Beshivtecha ubelechtecha hukshu lederech. It's all compared, it's all derived from the word derech. 1 second. Mi lo yaskinon. Are we not dealing with a derech shel mitzvah as well? Kloima, what this means to say is as follows. Mino londa bederech reshus, underline. How do you know it's a derech of reshus lechuda only? I recall, that's what the pasuk is talking about. How do you know? Hokra derech, quote unquote, stoma ksiv. What does derech stomach siv mean? The Torah writes derech stam, unqualified, could be any derech. Umameila mashma, therefore one can learn from that as well. Nami minoi, one can learn from there as well. Derech mitzvah. The Torah doesn't say what type of derech you're involved with. Stam, any derech. Afilu hochi omarachmona likru. And nonetheless, the Torah says that you're obligated to recite Kriya Shema. So don't tell me that the Torah spells out that you're only mechuyev to read Kriya Shema if you're involved in the derech of reshus. There is no remez whatsoever in the word derech to what type of derech we're talking about. It says derech. Derech means derech, any type of derech, any type of journey. That word journey could quite happily mean a derech of mitzvah as well. So that can't be the source. That's how we had to move over. You're right. It's not the derech word that teaches it to me, but rather it is the lechtecha word that teaches it to me. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Mitz Hashem, tomorrow we will continue from the top of the Omud till the Mishnah, but don't forget to learn it together with the Rashi's in Daf Yud Aleph. It's not complicated. And then Be'ez Hashem will be ready to move on to the next Mishnah.
Yishukoach.
All about.